Good evening. Praise be to God. I'm always thankful every time I get to read God's word, and even more so every time I get a chance to speak. Not because I love to speak. Over the past few weeks, as I've been meditating on these verses, the deeper I got into these verses, the more I realized, if I could use the word unqualified, how unqualified, how much the Spirit of God pricked my heart, saying, okay, this is for you. But the deeper I got, the more I realized how unqualified, but I also realized this is a perfect portion of scriptures for me, because I got to meditate on God's word in depth. And today, as I'm speaking from these verses, please do not take it as me pointing a finger. It's more of everything I've learned over the past few weeks. I'd love to share that with you. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at Paul's prison prayers. So Paul wrote four prayers, basically, and two of them were from the book of Ephesians, which we saw, and there was one addressed to the Philippians. And today we'll take a look at Paul's letter to the Colossians. This is entitled A Prayer for Enrichment. So the knowing and having and living, we looked at it. And today we'll look at walking with Christ and walking in Christ. Let's take a look at who Paul wrote this letter to. Why specifically the Colossians? Colossae is a place located around like 100 miles from the city of Ephesus. And it was probably planted around Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus. One thing to note is that Paul never personally visited Colossae. He did not plant the church of Colossae. It was probably started by Epaphras or some other believers who heard the word of the Lord and shared the gospel. And this church was a mix of both Gentiles and Jewish Christians. And the reason Paul writes this letter to the Colossians is because there were false teachers who were teaching things which sounded like it was coming from the word of God. It sounded like it was coming from the knowledge which these people had. But Paul's appeal to the Colossians throughout the book is to reject these false teachings and to grow in true Christian maturity. And we will learn specifically how to do that as we read through these portions. So if you have your Bibles, please open Colossians chapter 1, and we'll take a look at verses 9 through 14. And throughout my time here, I'd be probably jumping through a couple of verses. I would highly encourage that we take a look at it, because the best teacher is God himself. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. For this reason, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have a great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So this session today, we'll be looking at hopefully the first two verses of this this passage, verses 9 and 10. And next week, we'll come back to verses 11 through 14. The very first word here, the very first phrase here is for this reason. For this reason, but for what reason? So let's take a look at the past few verses. So verse 4 speaks of Paul's commending the Colossians' faith in Christ. Verse 4 also commends their love for all the saints. Verse 5, Paul is saying the hope laid up for them in heaven. And he also addresses the fact that they are bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world in verse 6. And verse 7, he also commends them for understanding the grace of God. And we go to verse 8, Paul is speaking about Epaphras, who mentioned about the Colossians, and he spoke highly of them, mentioning all these previous points where he's speaking about the faith they have, the love they had for God, and the fact that they understand and accept the grace of God. And Paul is saying, verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And if we look at the Greek translation of this, we see that this whole thing, verses 9 through 20, is one sentence. It's called a periodic sentence. It's a style which Paul had used in a couple other epistles, but it's one sentence. Can you believe that? When does somebody actually use multiple passages and paragraphs and thoughts in one sentence? It's when they are excited. Paul was extremely excited to speak to the Colossians. And what is he speaking about? He's saying that since we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We'll take a look at, we know the who. We know who Paul is praying for. Paul is praying for the Colossians. What, and these are lessons. So all of these 4 to 5 verses are lessons for us. Who do we pray for? And do we pray the way Paul is praying for the Colossians? Here we see, Paul had never met them, but he is still praying for them earnestly. And this is a this is one of the things which I took into mind, because there are times when in my own life I used to tell people this all the time. I used to tell people, brother, I'll be praying for you. Sister, I'll be praying for you. And that's one thing which I learned from this. It's there are times when we take that phrase very lightly. We have to remember the importance of that word. I will be praying for you. Because whatever we ask of the Lord, that's something which is important to us. When do we actually approach God? We approach God usually, and again, I'm speaking for myself here, sometimes in our time of need. But what Paul's saying is, Paul's saying, look at all these great things I've heard about you, but I have not stopped praying for you. Verse 9 says, we have not stopped praying for you. And we see what Paul is praying for. And we'll read about that in verse 10 and 11, is that Paul heard about them and he started praying for them continually. And the Bible teaches us to pray continually. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 through 17. And we can think about how excited the church of Colossae might have been when they heard that Paul was praying specifically for them. They got a letter and Paul saying, I have been praying for you. And certain parts say that Paul had been praying for them for years before he wrote this letter. And the book of Hebrews says that Christ is making intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God and he's making intercession for us. Romans 8:26 says that the Spirit groans for us. With wordless groans, the Spirit is interceding for us. Do we pray the way Paul is praying? Not for himself. He's praying for others. He's praying for people he has never met. But to pray for somebody like that, believers whom we have never met, we have to know them well, know about them well. And even when we pray for other believers, like we do every Wednesday, at least in a corporate setting, do we truly acknowledge and remember and understand the gravity of every single prayer matter that we are praying for on Wednesday? And on every single day, every time we pray to the Lord. There are times when we don't need to pray a very eloquent or elaborate prayer. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, it says, the prayer which the father was asked, the unbelieving father was asking for his child was, Lord, help my unbelief. There are times we need to pray for our faith. And there are times when it doesn't, God needs prayers which are coming straight from our heart. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be fancy. But we need to pray, because we need to come in the presence of the Lord. And when we pray, when God speaks of prayer throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible, when Jesus was saying parables, when he's talking about people, like the parable of the widow. The widow, Jesus likens the people who are praying like little children. Because when we are praying in front of God, especially the living God, the God who created everything, who created us, when we come before him, we are helpless. We are coming before the Lord who created us, and we know that this God can answer our prayers. The same way Christ mentioned about the parable of the widow. She kept asking. She kept persisting in her prayers. And these are lessons which we can learn in terms of how we can pray, what we need to pray for. There's a hymn which says that we don't submit everything to God. Last Sunday, we heard about that from Baba Uncle, and I think Brother Ranjit said the same thing. I surrender all. Can we truly say that? Can we truly say that we surrender everything to God? There's another hymn, What a Friend We Have at Jesus. And there are three lines there which I was extremely touched by. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We carry a lot of pain. We carry a lot of distress and sorrow in our lives about ourselves and other believers. We need to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. This is one thing which we can never be satisfied by. We can never be satisfied by our prayer life. I don't think I've met anybody who said, Brother, I'm very satisfied with my prayer life. I think it's enough. No. The deeper we get into God's word, and this is the theme throughout Colossians, Paul is speaking to them as mature believers. He's not speaking to them as babes in Christ. These are mature believers. And Paul's saying, everything you have done, that's good, but it's not enough. We need to get deeper. God has called us to get higher and deeper in his word. And now we saw who Paul is praying for. We saw how Paul is praying for them. And let's see why Paul is praying for them. Paul is praying for them in the second part of verse 9. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Paul is asking God to fill the Colossians. That's one word which you'll see throughout the book of Colossians. If you have time, I'd highly encourage you to read this book. It's a very short book, but throughout, one thing which stands out is Paul keeps talking about being filled, the fullness. And we'll take a look at that in a few moments, but let's take a look at being filled with what? Paul is saying, being filled with the knowledge of God's will. The word knowledge here used here is epignosis. That's a Greek word which says precise and correct knowledge. That's that's not the same. It's similar to the word gnosis, which is general knowledge. We know about something. But what epignosis is, it refers to the ethical and divine knowledge of God in this passage. But what it really means, it stands for, it involves participation by somebody who's trying to know something. The one illustration I would have is that there are times when we go on vacation, we see something beautiful, we drive by the beach, we see the beautiful ocean, we see all of God's creation. But knowledge is basically looking at that, acknowledging it, that's great, and then driving by. Epignosis, which is basically precise, correct knowledge which we participate in, which we actively participate in, that is basically we're taking a turn, getting onto the beach or into the mountains or whatever beautiful thing we see and participate in. It's one thing for me to come here and say, I saw the ocean the other day. The water is beautiful. The water was cold. We had a great time. I touched the sand. Great. But would that feel the same way when I'm explaining it, or if each of us were to go and actually get into the water, touch the water, touch the sand. And that's sometimes my own experience in my Christian life. There are times when we have all this knowledge, especially being in the assembly. We have all this knowledge. We go to Sunday school, we go to VBS, we attend all, we have all this knowledge, but active participation, truly understanding what the knowledge of God's will actually means, that is something which Paul is praying for. Paul is praying that the Colossian believers might not just know the theory of God. All the theology which we study and all of that, we know that's true. But do we truly know, have the knowledge of God's will? And it's not some mystery. There are two types or two faces of God's will, which is mentioned in the Bible. One is God's will, which is sovereign. God's sovereign will. God created this world. God knew about Adam's sin, and we don't need to pray for all the God's predestined will. That's not something which we are required to pray for. It's going to happen. But what we are praying for, what Paul's mentioning here, is the knowledge of God's will, which is God's revealed will. And that's the thing which we need to seek after. But what is God's will, and where do we find it? In Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, that's revealed. Colossians chapter 1 27, I've written it down, I'll read it out. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of his glory. Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 also mentions the same thing. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here Paul says that unlike other gods, unlike other deities, Paul's saying that this mystery of God has been revealed to us. It's not something which we need to work hard towards. The more we read 10 Christian spiritual books, we get some, God reveals himself to us a little bit. No, it's all in the Bible. It's and what is this mystery of God, which is written in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27? It is Christ. This is the knowledge of God's will. It is found right here in Christ, so that we may grow in the knowledge of God. That when Paul's saying that in order that you may grow in the knowledge of God, what Paul's saying is that you may grow in Christ. We need to know Christ well. Before Christ, the knowledge of God was in the laws of Moses, the prophets, with the judges. But when Christ came, Romans chapter 10 verse 4 says that Christ was the end of the law, so that there might be righteousness for all who believe. God's will is revealed for us through the scriptures. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to Christ, the closer we understand who this God is, who Christ is, who died for us so that we may live in him, that changes everything. That's the lens we look at the world through. And that's how we grow in Christ, and our prayers become more mature, that we are now not only praying for ourselves, we are so filled with the knowledge of God's will, which is Christ, that we are able to share it with others and also pray for them. There are Paul was talking about the spiritual fullness in Christ. Here, the fullness, the word fullness being mentioned here, is that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. The word filled being used here is not like it's not the word which we use where we are saying here's an empty glass, we're filling that with water. Not that. What Paul's saying, the filling means to be, the word literally means to be governed, to be controlled. The more we have the knowledge of God's will, the more we have Christ, the more we know him, we are now governed and controlled. Everything in our lives, we would truly surrender in front of Christ. And then Christ takes control of our lives. Brother Scott mentioned last week that Paul's life was seized by God on the road to Damascus. Paul's life henceforth was controlled by Christ. And that's something which we need to take to our hearts. Psalms chapter 119 verse 35 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." Our prayer should be that we understand God's will. Because the flesh doesn't want us to know God's will. Because intrinsically what's happening is we don't want to know God. That's our flesh. But being sons of God, being people who are called by God, we know that in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5 it says that what was not made known to people in previous generations has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And brothers and sisters, we are holy apostles and prophets. The more we grow in the knowledge of God's will, the more we grow in Christ, the closer we get to God, the more we see the revelations of the Spirit and how that impacts us in our daily lives. These verses, since we are really short on time, I'm just going to leave this out here. We can take a look at how Paul says being spiritually full in Christ. What does that actually mean? Because Paul's saying in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 is that Christ was the deity of God was filled in Christ. And as believers, we are united in Christ. We receive from that spiritual fullness. And the church we are part of is described as the fullness of Christ on earth. And the Bible constantly throughout the New Testament stresses on the importance of us discerning, submitting to, and carrying out the will of God. And that's what's mentioned in verse 9. So it says, having the knowledge of his will, to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding. What does wisdom, what does knowledge mean? Knowledge means something which we know. Wisdom means that we need to apply that. Just having a knowledge, like I put some navigation on my map to get to church, but I don't start driving. That doesn't mean I get here. So wisdom is that. Wisdom is now we have the knowledge of God's will. Wisdom is applying it in our lives. And understanding, which is the word after that, wisdom and understanding, is knowing where to apply that wisdom. God has called us to know him. This is not some mystery, because the Bible says, I think it's Revelation chapter 3 verse 20. It says, "Behold," or in the NIV it says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him, and he will have fellowship with me." God is calling us to partake of this knowledge of God's will. Knowledge of God's will meaning Christ. God would love to make himself known to us. My prayer for us is that we learn to understand who Christ is and to grow in him. And the only way we can do that is by asking God to help us. We need to earnestly pray to God that he helps us with our faith. There are times when we use vain repetitions throughout our prayers. And we are content reading God's word by taking a few things and not understanding the depth of God's word. God's will is not just about knowing what decision do we make next and just opening up our Bibles and looking at a verse and saying, "Yep, that's it." No. Because there are times when we open the Bible and we think, oh, okay, I want God to speak to me in this manner. So we ask God to just approve what we think. That's not what God's will is. There are things which we pray for, these small little things of our day-to-day lives. God's providence takes care of so much of that. What Paul's praying for, and something which we can take away from this, is that Paul's praying that we truly get to know Christ. Because that is the center of everything. That is the lens through which we live our lives. That's a lens through which we see this world. The world will never be the same when we truly understand the knowledge of God's will. There are others, the latter part of this verse, verse 10, we can look at it next week. But as we depart today, my appeal is this, that we take this to our hearts. This is not just a mere reading of scriptures, because this is God himself speaking to us through Paul's prayer. May we pray for each other. May we truly know the needs of others, especially spiritual needs. We are praying for physical needs. That is good. That's great. But we also need to pray for people, especially when everything is going well. That all of us together, when Paul's saying the word you in these scriptures, he's not saying you for a person. He's saying you for the church. Together in unity, let us come together to know God's will, to grow in the knowledge of his will, to grow in wisdom and understanding, and submit ourselves. Surrender everything to God. Surrender everything to God and grow in Christ and know him, and know him well. May the Lord's name be glorified. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before you humbled. We come before you humbled, knowing that there's so many things in our lives that we need to change. We need to get closer to you. We need to get closer to knowing Christ, who died for us, who shed his precious blood for us. Help us to grow in the knowledge of your will. Help us to cast aside all the unnecessary burdens we carry because we don't submit everything to you. Help us to earnestly pray for others. Help us to earnestly pray for our own spiritual lives, that we may grow in you and help others grow. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.